Lakuta Sichas Chilak Chavbeis Parsha Bahar Sicha Aleph. I from Pasuk the Shofsa Oret Shabbos Hashem, and the Pasuk in this week's Parsha, which says that land should rest for a rest unto Hashem, which means as B'Shana Shvi is Dafta Ered Ruin, that in the seventh year, in the Shemitah year, the earth has to be given rest. Umentarnished ton kemalachas asada v'akerim. You're not allowed to do any work in the field or in the vineyard. Bring the Zohar. The Zohar quotes this. He quotes a pasuk on this matter, and he says the pasuk kisikne eved ivri. The pasuk says if you will purchase a Jewish slave, sheish shanim yavod, for 6 years he shall work. In the seventh year, he goes free. Unzokt. So the Zohar says about this: the chol bar Yisrael isle naicha b'shmita, because every Jew has rest, is allowed to rest in the Shemitah year. Bahu naicha d'ara, when the earth rests, itzruchu avde naicha. So also the servants, the slaves, also get rest. In the ruin from the erd, in the rest, he teaches in Yiddish, in the ruin from the erd, during the rest of the earth, daf euch knecht ruins, also the slaves get to rest. Or begin kach, and for this reason, the bashvi is during the seventh year, he goes free. But pashta zetuis, when you look at this on the surface, it seems, as the Zohar learned the pshat in Bashvi Yisrael Chav Shechinim, that the Zohar interprets the pasuk that says about the Jewish slave that during the seventh year he should go free. Ados mein, that what this means is nishtem zibit nyor from vener givoron an eved. It doesn't mean to say that the seventh year when he became a slave, then he should go free. Nor shnas hashmita. What it means is the seventh year, which is the seventh year for everybody, meaning the shmita year. That's when he goes free. So if he sold himself into slavery 2 years before Shemitah, he would go to free 2 years later, because the Zohar ties the freedom of the slave to the Shemitah. Is Bavuz de Tmiya, so it's well known, the great question about this. Es is a halacha revachas v'kama mekemes v'chazal, because it's a widely known, well known halacha, which is mentioned in many places in the Gemara and so on. As an eved geta rois lachavshi, that as a Jewish slave goes free, nish b'shas ha-shmita, not when the shmita year comes, nor b'shvi le-mechira, but rather the seventh year after he was sold as a slave. To vizog the Zohar, so then how does the Zohar say about nuch naicha da'ara, that because the land is resting, itzruch av de naicha, therefore the slaves are also given rest, that he should go free during the Shemitah. It's well known that that's not what the pasuk means. Well, says nishma stabes zog, and it doesn't stand to reason that what he's to say, as the Zohar is mechuluk mida alam amar chazal, that benigul the Torah, that the Zohar argues against all of those sources in Chazal, which clearly state that it means the seventh year since he was sold. The Zohar argues, no, he goes free in the Shemitah. That's very difficult to say. Beis. That we must understand. So we'll understand this by hekdem was me gefin ben geit zu mitzvahs, and by first introducing that we find in regards to mitzvahs as seine es is farana kima mitzvah in an öfen von lachachila, that there is the way a mitzvah can be done in its most perfect state, the way it's meant to be done. Und es farana kima mitzvah blois in an öfen von bedieven, and there is the way a mitzvah can be done, not in the best way that it could be done, but it's passable this way as well. You fulfill your obligation if you do it in a less than perfect way as well. That's called b'di'evit. It's explained also in the recent and the later writings as od der chiluk, that this difference from the chadchilu b'di'evit that we just mentioned between the way it's meant to be done in its perfect state and the way it can also pass if you do it in a less than perfect state, is farana filu b'inyonim d'iraisa, this applies even to matters in the way the Torah presents them. Un nochmer, and even more, nishnor b'digetza azolche protim from the mitzvah of zayne b'loiz at night study, and that it applies also not only to certain details of a mitzvah which don't seem to be the central idea of this mitzvah. There are side matters which are connected to this mitzvah. So in those, I would understand if, you know, whatever, one of those side details of a mitzvah, if they don't get done in the most perfect way, we can get away with that as well. Then we would be able to understand, as a filler in a svelte other tonight, that even if you're missing a certain condition in the mitzvah, which is not central to the mitzvah, given the mitzvah, we at least fulfill the mitzvah upon the yevid, at least in its less than perfect state. So it's not only by a side issue, a side detail of the mitzvah. Nor, as Zainafaran found, there are even cases, was the prat is in the guf inyan mitzvah, that the detail of which we speak, in which one can fulfill it in its most perfect way, or even b'di'evit, even when it's a central idea of the mitzvah, on avo b'kenen, and even so, is the snishat naili kuva. But still, even though it's important and central to the mitzvah, but it's not something which if you don't do it in this perfect specific way, you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah. You, even though it's an important part of the mitzvah, but you could still, if you didn't do it in the most perfect way, you still fulfill your obligation. You can fulfill this mitzvah at least, but the yevid, even if you didn't capture that detail. Bring the Rav Kamer v'kamer dugmois, and a number of examples are given for this. Vavu the kula, and the mother of them all, as we would say in English, the klal, the rule by Yonika Kachim, which is generally applies to karbonas and such things. The Gemara says shana hakosav olav la'akev, that there are certain things written about karbonas which the Torah repeats certain details of it, and the Gemara explains why does the Torah repeat it, because this detail cannot be missed. If you miss this detail, then you're not yoytze the mitzvah. The carbon is not, you haven't fulfilled your obligation for this carbon. But only those details which the Torah repeats, which specifically points out that this is central and you can't get away without it. But otherwise, there are things which, although the Torah says you should do it, but it's not, if you missed it, you're still yoytze. It's still a kosher carbon. In other words, that there are things even in Torah mitzvahs, you could understand this better if it related only to rabbinic mitzvahs. So they could say they instituted a mitzvah, or they made a certain geder, a certain fence, a certain precaution in a mitzvah, and they said, but if you missed it, you know, you still fulfill the mitzvah. But we see that it even applies to things which the Torah requires, and even there we can also say that b'di'evid yoytze without it. Gimel loitem klal. So based on this rule, this also answers a number of things which are difficult to understand. Which a number of them will be explained presently. Uludugma, for instance, something which pertains to the time that we're in now, which is Sviras Omer. By Sviras Omer, Zog the Pasuk says in regards to the mitzvah of Sviras Omer, Usfartam l'chaim emachas haShabbos, you shall count for yourself from the day after Shabbos. Vos meint bepashtus yom haShabbos, which the simple reading of the word Shabbos means Shabbos. Unvidit tzedukim by Susim Zog, and in fact the tzedukim, the Sadducees, they interpret it that way in their practice. As Atzeres achar haShabbos, according to their religion, the way they interpret the Torah, the beginning of Sfira is always on Sunday or Matzah Shabbos, Saturday night, which is the day after Sfira, the day after Shabbos, because Sunday is the first day of Sfira, so you begin to count it the night before, as always, and therefore Shavuos will always come out on a Sunday in their reading. And the reason is because they interpret Shabbos to mean literal, that you have to start Sfira after Shabbos, the day after Shabbos. As men hayt on zeln Sfira from the machos yom Shabbos, that we begin to count Sfira from the day after Shabbos. Aber teirus shabal pez mefarish. However, we don't go by that interpretation. We argue against that interpretation. And Torah Shavuot Peh teaches the as Memachas of Shabbos, that over here the word the day after Shabbos, make Memachas Yom Tov, means the day after the first day of Pesach. It doesn't mean Shabbos, it means the first day of Yom Tov. And therefore, Svira always begins the second night of Yom Tov, of Pesach. When V'chazal bring in the Rif Kam V'kam Arayis V'lemudim, and as our sages already interpreted, they in the Gemara talks about how they come to this conclusion, how they know this. Is L'chayre Tamua, so the question comes up for this issue. V'bal Teira Vil Mizol Anayim Tzeil Nsir Machaz Yom Tov the Pesach, since the Teira wants, as we understand from our Chazal, from our sages, that the Torah means that you should start counting Sfira this day after the first day of Yom Tov. Halamayzok Torah Mavachas Shabbos. So then, why does the Torah say the day after Shabbos? Why couldn't it be more clear? Because that allows you to make the mistake, as the Tzedukim actually make the mistake, that it means that it always has to be on a Sunday. Why doesn't the Torah simply state after the Pesach, after the first day Pesach, start counting Sfira? Why does he leave it so vague and say Shabbos instead of Yom Tov? So that's one question that comes up, and based on what we just said, we can explain it. We'll behek them by first explaining another introduction. Just like there is a difference between l'chatchila, the way it's meant to be done in this perfect state, and b'diyeved means what you can also get away with, just like there is this difference in l'chatchila and b'diyeved as far as the person doing the mitzvah, so he's meant to do it in every, to capture every detail. And then there is, if he didn't capture every detail, he left out some details, so there are certain details which, if he left that out, he still yotze, he still fulfills his obligation. As when Erfa felt that if the person missed Tzutana Prat to catch one of the details of the mitzvah, Sheinemakev, one of those details which are not, do not interfere with your ability to do the mitzvah, is a makayim the mitzvah b'diyeved, so that he still fulfills his obligation for the mitzvah, and as it's called b'diyeved, it was done, it's over, he fulfilled his mitzvah anyway. Al derech zeh, so just like there is a difference between l'chatchila and b'diyeved in the way the person does the mitzvah, al derech zeh, in a similar way, is da'am molach chilik, it's sometimes you can have a difference with the mitzvah atzma. In the mitzvah itself, there is the way it can be done in its most perfect state, and the way it can be done only in a less than perfect state. As a gevisa matzavim, that in certain situations, is the mitzvah mitmer shleimos, the mitzvah can be done in a more perfect way. Und es da matze, was the mitzvah is melchatchila ausgestellt in an eifen, but there is, on the other hand, situations in which the mitzvah itself can, the only way that one is able to do this mitzvah, as in dem matzav, that in this particular situation, tutme the mitzvah nishvi shleimos, the mitzvah cannot be done in its most perfect state. As felde by einige protim, that there are certain details which you're not going to be able to do, this mitzvah cannot be done in this situation with all of its details as it's really meant to be done. From the Digmar Sachib Shudas Lazeh, a simple basic example of this is Bizman Sha Beis Hamikdash Hoya Kayim, when the Beis Hamikdash was in existence, is Yom Tov Fabunim mit HaKrovos Karbonos. Yom Tov always was connected with certain Karbonos that had to be brought specifically for the Yom Tov. Karbonos Yom Tov Shal Tzibur, there is the public offerings that the community offers, like the Korban Musaf and other such Karbonos which are associated with each Yom Tov. And then there is also Shal Yochid, Karbonos which the individual has to bring. Oilus Re'iya, for instance, every Yid had the obligation when he came to visit the Beis HaMikdash for Yom Tov to bring a Karbon Oila, which is called Oilus Re'iya. When you show up, you have to bring a Karbon on the Karbon Oila. And then there is Shalmi Chagiga, a Karbon Shlomim with which to celebrate the Yom Tov. You have the meat to eat, and which is a mitzvah on Yom Tov. So that these were two Karbonos which every Yid had to bring when he came to the Beis HaMikdash for Yom Tov. Umishachara Beis HaMikdash. But then when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, we no longer have the Beis HaMikdash. Hotman dem Yom Tov min haTorah. We have the Yom Tov. We have to celebrate the Yom Tov. The Torah requires us still to keep that Yom Tov. Aber on the Karbonis. But in that situation, we do the Yom Tov. We celebrate the Yom Tov. But the Karbonis of the Yom Tov we can't do. So even though the Yom Tov was always associated with certain Karbonis, which the Torah says that on this Yom Tov you shall bring these Karbonis, and when the Yid comes to the Beis HaMikdash for Yom Tov, he's supposed to bring these particular Karbonis. Now we celebrate the Yom Tov, but without any Karbonis. Even in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, even when the Beis HaMikdash was there and people were bringing Karbonis, is Misha Ein Le Karka, somebody that didn't own a part of Eretz Yisrael, didn't have a piece of real estate, a piece of land in Eretz Yisrael, for whatever reason, Potter from Aliyah L'Regel, he is exempt from having to go to the Beis HaMikdash. So he doesn't even go to the Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, of course, he's not going to be bringing the Karbonis that the individual had to bring when he came to the Beis HaMikdash for Yom Tov, which everyone was obligated to do. Almost everyone was obligated to do. But since he doesn't have a piece of land, then he doesn't have to go. So he celebrates Yom Tov without bringing those Karbonis, even in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. Even though the Yom Tov he has to celebrate, the Torah requires him to keep Pesach and Sukkot and Shavuos and so on, but the Karbonis he doesn't bring. Ukamuvan, and as is quite clear, Zayin the Karbonis HaYom Tov, the Karbonis which are associated with every Yom Tov, al darazeh the inyuf and aliyah regel, as well as the idea of going to the Beis HaMikdash for the three Yom Tovim of Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. Nishta zayt to get in Yom Tov. You can't say that this is just a sideshow for Yom Tov. It's a detail in Yom Tov. It doesn't really describe the celebration of Yom Tov. Of course it does. The Karbonis are very much a part of the celebration of Yom Tov. And Aliyah L'Regel is very much a part of the celebration of Yom Tov. You say to him, in fact, Yeshleima, one could say, the Karbonis are in Nisha Mesuvah from Yom Tov. One might even say that the Karbonis are not there because of Yom Tov. In other words, Yom Tov creates the obligation to bring Karbonis. Nor is it an Achelik al Kuponim Ha'isof in Shleima's being in a Yom Tov Gufa. In other words, one could say that it's a Yom Tov, and you're coming to the Beis HaMikdash. So the Torah says, Nut, you're here, bring a carbon. But it really doesn't have much to do with the Yom Tov itself. It's just a result. Since the Torah requires you to come for Yom Tov, so therefore, you're here, the Torah requires you to bring a carbon. But it isn't really that the Yom Tov requires a carbon. It's just that you happen to be here, it requires a carbon. Nor, but what is the real truth? Is an achelik. They are a part of Yom Tov. At least they add to the complete celebration, the perfect celebration of the Yom Tov, meaning Yom Tov Gufa. So that the Karbonis are associated with the carbon, with the Yom Tov, and not just because you happen to be there, or because everybody's there, so we bring an extra carbon. What he means to say is, if we would say like the first way, which is that the carbon really doesn't have much to do with the Yom Tov, it's just that you happen to be there, you should bring a carbon, then of course you could celebrate a Yom Tov without a carbon, because the carbon has really nothing to do with the Yom Tov, it's just that you happen to be in the Beis HaMikdash. But if we say that it is intrinsic to the Yom Tov, so then now that we're not able to bring Karbonis, so now we're celebrating Yom Tov without a very intrinsic part of Yom Tov, which is all those Karbonis. Afo pikein, and therefore even so, then, in other words, that the Yom Tov, that the Karbonis are intrinsic to the Yom Tov, then says matzavas menkenak al pitoyde the Karbonis nishbring, and when you're in a situation when the Torah doesn't allow you to bring a Karbon, like because the Beis HaMikdash is not there, is do Yom Tov Kedushas Yom Tov, you still have the Yom Tov and you still have the holiness of Yom Tov min haTorah, and it's a Torah requirement, but you do it without this very important aspect of Yom Tov, which is all those Karbonis. Nochmer gefindenem, we find even more as seine Farah mitzvahs seinen Melchatchile gegeben geworden in an Eufen, that there are certain mitzvahs which were given to begin with, there is a situation was built in, as is Farah in the mitzvah Zweizmanim. That in the mitzvah itself, there are two distinct periods of that mitzvah, of how to celebrate that mitzvah. In Einzman, in one of the periods of the when you're celebrating the mitzvah, is the Farah Meshlei Musa. In that situation, you fulfill it fully with all of the details. B'chol HaPratim. Uninat Zveit Nizman, but then there's another period of that mitzvah itself. Hotzin Nishde Shleimus, it doesn't have that perfect, you know, you don't fulfill every detail of this mitzvah. For instance, Ladugma. Yom Tov HaLamoed. A Yom Tov is divided into two periods. There is the first day and the last day of Yom Tov, which are Yom Tov itself. And then you're not allowed to do any work, and you're not allowed to, and so on. And then there's HaLamoed, the intermediate days, which are also Yom Tov, and certain parts of the Yom Tov apply. Like on Pesach, you're still not allowed to eat chametz, you have to eat matzah, and so on. So there's only somewhat some of the details of Yom Tov, a tale from Yom Tov, as Bechal for Meidim L'Simcha. It's also part of a Yom Tov which, in which you have to practice joy, you have to drink wine, you have to eat meat, and so on. And Mitzad Zeh Mechuyah B'Simcha Min HaTorah. For this reason, you have to, since it's part of Yom Tov, you ha- the Torah requires you to practice joy. Afal Pikein, and even so, Kumtas Nishtu Yimei HaYom Tov Atzmei. You can't compare the days of Chol HaMoed, which are Yom Tov, but you can't compare it to the first and last day, which are a full-fledged Yom Tov with all the details of holiness and so on. And you have to refrain from work, as we said. Because Demeth is a Yom Tov Tov mit der ganze Shleimus, that the first and last day are a Yom Tov day, with fully, perfectly, every detail of Yom Tov is practiced then. B'chol HaPratim, with every detail. So in other words, we see even in mitzvahs min HaTorah, where you have lechatchila, which means situations in which everything is done, you have it, it you practice the mitzvah in its fullest, to its fullest extent, and then there are situations in which you don't practice the mitzvah to its fullest extent, like we said about Yom Tov, without korbanos, or between the difference between Chol HaMoed and Yom Tov. Dalit. Al derech zeh ved zayin verstandig benegei de mitzvah svira. According to this, we'll understand in regards to svira. Das was Torah zogt, das fad lachem lachas of Shabbos. Why does the Torah say, you shall count, begin the count of svira, the day after Shabbos? Af al pi as the mitzvah from svira is to tell me lachas of Yom Tov, even though the Torah means that you should start counting the day after the first day of Yom Tov Pesach. Is as vile, the reason why the Torah says it that way, in akfiyas ven Yom Tov falt ois b'yom haShabbos, in the situation where Yom Tov comes out, the first day Pesach comes out on Shabbos, umen haibt on zeln svira euch memachas yom haShabbos. So in that situation, we begin to count svira not only after the first day of Pesach, but we begin to count svira after the day of Shabbos, which means we start counting svira on Sunday. Is das Leut Maimach Hazal? So in that situation, according to what our sages tell us, which we'll see a little bit further, a Gresser Shleimus in Inyan HaSvira, this is a greater, reaching a greater degree of perfection in Svira. Kilakama Sifhei Baruch, as it will be explained in Sifhei. What he means is, das haste. As the mitzvah of Sfira is v'lchatchila gegeben geworden, that the mitzvah of Sfira was given from Hashem in the Torah in Tzvei Efanim. There are two ways in which Sfira can be practiced. The Etzem mitzvah from Sfira. There is the mitzvah of Sfira itself. What are the bare bones? What are the most essential parts of Sfira? Vos is ma'akeh b'di'evad, which means that if you don't do that, then you don't fulfill the mitzvah of Sfira at all. On muzayin in yedah svira, and that these details have to be there in every svira, and whenever you count svira in every situation, these things have to be part of your counting of svira. In vosfara kfiyas is on zayin, that it has to be. This has to be accomplished in whatever situation it is. Whenever svira begins, whenever svira ends, these details always have to be part of Sfiras HaEmer. Is to tzel numachos hayomtiv. One of those details is that you have to start counting Sfira the day after the first day of Pesach. That's essential to the counting of Sfira. Every single year that has to be done. But then there is another situation. When Pesach comes out on Shabbos, the first day of Pesach, when the mitzvah from Sfira is mit mer shleimus, then you accomplish a greater perfection in the counting of Sfira, which is if it comes on Sunday, you start your week, because the Sfira is counted in 7 weeks, for 7 weeks. When you start counting at the beginning of the week, Sunday, Yom HaRishon, and you finish it on Shabbos, you've completed an entire week. The next week is the second week, and so on. In that way, Sfiras HaEmer has a certain perfectness, perfection, which can't be accomplished if you start counting Sfira on Tuesday or Wednesday, because then it's in the middle, you're starting in the middle and you're ending in the middle, so it lacks a certain beauty and perfection and order of the counting of the Sfira. It misses that well-rounded week, which is week one, week two, and so on. So the Torah gives two options. One option is, which every year you have to meet this requirement, which is, it starts always the day after Pesach, the first day of Pesach. A better and more elevated and a more perfectly well-rounded counting of the Sfira is if it should start on Sunday. And therefore, why is it written in the Torah Shavuksav Mimachas HaShabbos? Why does it say Mimachas HaShabbos, the day after Shabbos, instead of the day after Yom Tov, which is really what is meant, which is really essential to Sfira? Is because Valdos is the mitzvah b'chol shlemusa, because when you start it on Sunday, you get the absolute perfection in Sfira. And that's why the Torah puts it that way. Because even though it's not essential, and in most years you don't meet that requirement, that you don't get that perfection, but since that is an element of perfection for Sfira, so the Torah words it that way. Hey, the Rayev Hasbara Bazeh, the proof of this, and to explain it, that Mefashtein from a Medrash Tumua even Pasuk will understand this from a Medrash, which also seems to be, needs to be understood on the Pasuk, Usfatim Lachem Machas HaShabbos. The Pasuk says, you shall count for yourself from the day after Shabbos. So the Medrash says this. It says that there should be 7 full weeks. Ema sayhein tmimis. When are they full, perfect weeks? Bizman she'ein Yeshua v'shachnia b'neihem. When Yeshua and Shachnia do not land in between them. What does this mean? This means there were 24 mishmores, which means rotations for the Kohanim. The Kohanim were divided into 24 rotations, groups, and they had to come for 2 weeks every year. 1 week, and then 24 weeks later, again, they came for another week. And each group had a name. They followed the main leader, or what used to be the main leader of that group, and so one of them is called Yeshua, one is called Shachnia. Each group started and finished on Shabbos. They would start their rotation on Shabbos, finish their rotation on Shabbos. So Shabbos was like the handover from the previous group to the new group. So the Yeshua and Shachnia were there in the Pesach time. So if Pesach starts on Shabbos, so then there is a group of Kohanim which, that's their rotation, the entire Pesach. If it starts on a Tuesday, so you're going to have two groups of Kohanim, which are in the week before Pesach. You're going to have a half a week Kohanim, and then everyone during Pesach, your Yom Tov itself, any Kohen can come and serve. Everyone can join, and then their rotation ends on Shabbos. Then starts a new rotation, and then on Tuesday Yom Tov is over. So now starts the new group after Shabbos. So if If Pesach starts on Shabbos and ends on Friday, so then you have a group which was there during that time. So Yeshua and Shachniah will not be during that week. But if it starts in the middle of the week, so then you can have Yeshua or Shachniah being as a part of the rotation the week, you know, during that time. So the Medrash says, when can it be called Tmima is true, complete weeks? If Yeshua and Shachniah are not serving in that time, which means that it started on Shabbos and therefore ended on Friday, and therefore it was one group, Yeshua and Shachniah didn't get in to that rotation. Bottom line, if it's not clear enough, what this means is it started on Shabbos and Pesach started on Shabbos. So the Medrash is saying, when is it perfect weeks? When Pesach starts on Shabbos. The way it says it is, if this group didn't get into that rotation. Umefarshim Zayin and Mavair. So the Mefarshim explain what I just explained. As Dasmein Bezman Shesayfim Memachos HaShabbos Kipshute. It means when we begin to count Sfira on Sunday because Pesach came out on Shabbos. From Zun to Gon, from Sunday we start counting Sfira. On the Medrash Git Asimin Evdem, the Evdekviyas. And the Medrash gives you, you know, how does the Medrash express that Pesach falt in Shabbos, that Pesach should come out on Shabbos, as the Mishmaris Yeshua v'Shachnia haben nicht getan kein avodah b'mikdash bein Pesach latzeres, which means that Yeshua and Shachnia did not do any service in the Beis Hamikdash between Pesach and Shavuos, which means their group wasn't there during the whole time of Sfira. So whenever their rotation was, if a half a week, they could have served a half a week sometime in the sphere, either the beginning of the, I think it was the end of the sphere actually. And if they weren't there, so then it means that it started on Shabbos, it ended on Shabbos, the same thing happened on Shavuos, no half weeks for any rotation, which means Yeshua and Shachniah didn't serve in the Beis HaMikdash during that period of sphere. What it means, bottom line, it started on Shabbos. That's the perfect Sfira. That's the Tmimais, means when it starts on Shabbos. Pesach starts on Shabbos. Sfira starts on Sunday. And he explains it more. As men hyped on sale Sfira by Mitzvah Shabbos, we begin to count Sfira on Mitzvah Shabbos, Mimochas on Shabbos, meaning the day after Shabbos, Kipshutai, in its literal sense, not just after Yom Tov, but after Shabbos as well. As hein hashabbos es tmimis kesheshes mebereshes, which means that the weeks are followed the weeks of sheshes mebereshes, which means Sunday through Shabbos. That's the complete week. V'im yava Yeshua lo yu tmimis, but if Yeshua is there during the sphere, which means that there had to be a half a week somewhere, which means that it didn't start on Sunday, so you don't have that perfection that we talked about where it's a complete week that follows the conventional week as we know it. Istamua, so we have to understand about this. The chiyuv inyan von tmimis is b'chol shana v'shana. The Torah requires, when it says that sfira should be counted, and it says tmimis, sheva shabbos tmimis, seven complete weeks, that applies to every year of Sfira. Every time you count Sfira, every year when you count Sfira, the Torah requires Tmimis. It has to be full, complete weeks. By Yedekvias, in any, whatever situation it comes out, was the far ven shochach lisper shuvenim avarach, and therefore, the halacha is that if somebody forgot one day, you can't go back and catch up the next day. You can't start again because you missed a day. Therefore, it's not complete seven complete weeks. You missed a day. You can no longer make a bracha because you're not fulfilling the mitzvah min haTorah anymore. That's another reason is that Sfira Sayim is Miba'erev. That's why we start counting Sfira the night before, at the beginning of the day. But of course, in Yiddishkeit, the day begins at sunset or at dark. And therefore, as soon as it becomes dark, that's when Sfira starts. We don't wait till the morning to start count Sfira because then you miss the whole night. And you need full weeks. You need full days of Sfira, so you start counting as soon as the day sets in, which means at nightfall. So these are two ways in which the Torah requires tmimis in every season, in every whatever situation it is. So therefore, favaz zok the medrash. So then, why does the medrash say as that inyan for tmimis, that when is the idea of tmimis, complete weeks, realized, reached, accomplished is dafke when Pesach is chal b'Shabbos. Only happens when Pesach comes on a Shabbos, and you start to count on Sunday. Nochmer, in fact, the question is even greater. L'chayre gitos an or to the shita from the baisusim chazav shalom. Saying this, when the Medrash says this, that when is it considered tmima? It's only if it starts on Sunday. That is literally buying into, or at least it seems like we're buying into what the way that Sadducees interpreted, which the Chachamim fought against that. The Gemara tells stories about how they fought off that opinion. But this seems to promote it. This seems to enforce it. That is only perfect when it starts on Sunday, the way they do it. It sounds like we're supporting their opinion, which is that it should always start on Sunday. Is the beer in them? Which, of course, the Chachamim, the Medrash, did not mean that at all. So then, what does it mean? Is the beer in them? So the explanation is: Bizman as Mahat Shabbos as Tmimis Kesheish Mebereish is when the Sfira comes out, that the weeks follow the 7 days of the week as they were at creation, which means the way the conventional week, starting Sunday, ending Shabbos, is thus tmimus b'shleimus. Then you have tmimus in its most perfect way. Nor adi shleimus is nishma akabedieva, but it's not essential to Svira that this part of shleimus, of tmimus, should be part of Svira. It's a nice thing to have. It brings out a greater shleimus of tmimus, but it's not essential. If it doesn't come out that way, it's a fine sfira. Tmimus likuvei is mem tesyoim. The only thing that we need for which is essential is that it should be 49 days, 49 full days. It doesn't matter if it starts on Sunday or Tuesday or Wednesday or whatever. But when it does start on Sunday, so you get an added dimension of tmimus, which is not essential to sfira, but it's nice to have. Of a shleimus in inyan tmimus, but perfection in tmimus is, and since tmimus k'sheitz meibereishis is when you have the weeks follow the cycle of the creation, which is that it starts on Sunday and it ends on Shabbos, Pesach Shechal Shabbos, which can only happen if Pesach comes out on Shabbos, the first day. Vav, the im kenim advarim, and if this is correct, this chiddush of the Rebbe, this is something very novel that the Rebbe introduces, and if this is correct, as teire retam oveg amitzvah viziiz b'shleimus b'chol ha'protim, that the Torah can sometimes present a mitzvah in a more perfect way than other years, other situations in which that perfection cannot be reached. Even though the details, some of the details of the shleimus are not essential to the mitzvah, as we explained. Git oicha azbar in the minyan tamua b'negeya to siyum from sfiris oim mechagashvuas. This also gives a beautiful explanation to another question which could come up in regards to how Svira ends, which is the Yom Tov Shavuos. That's the end, the culmination of Svira, is Shavuos. So there's something interesting, strange about Shavuos as well. Wegen der Kfiyas von Chagas Shavuos, sagen Chazal, in regard about the when Shavuos comes out, our sages tell us, Pa'amim Chamisha, sometimes it comes out on the 5th of Sivan, Pa'amim Shisha, sometimes on the 6th of Sivan, Pa'amim Shiva, sometimes on the 7th of Sivan. Thus Heis, which means, as Chagas Shavuos muz nisht alamol zayim bizman shemekachem al piyariya, that Shavuos, in the times when they would sanctify the moon, which means start the month, Rosh Chodesh was based on the sighting of the moon, which you couldn't always rely that it would always happen on the same day. There could be one day off, as we know, that there were 29 day months and 30 day months. So it doesn't come out b'yom matan Torah seinu. Shavuos will not be on the actual day when the Torah was given, because Torah was given on the 6th of Sivan, or according to others on the Beshiva, according to one opinion it was on the 7th of Sivan. But the Shavuos can sometimes comes out on the 5th, sometimes on the 7th. So not always does it come out on the 6th. Today, of course, Shavuos is already set that it comes out always on the 6th, because in the two Rosh Chodesh between Pesach and Shavuos, which means Rosh Chodesh Iyar and Rosh Chodesh Sivan, one of them is a Mali, one is a Mechasa, one is a 29-day month, one is a 30-day month. So it always comes, it's a stabilized calendar, where Shavuos always comes out on the 6th. But at the time when they declared Rosh Chodesh based on two witnesses seeing the moon, then it could be 5th, 6th, or 7th, depending on when Rosh Chodesh was and during those 2 months in between. Is you do it the Tmiya Bazeh, so the question about this is well known. We find that our sages connect the Yom Tov Shavuos with the day of Matan Torah. As the Rishami says, as the Tam was by the Kabbonis Natzer, state nisht and posit loshon chet, that the reason why, when the Torah describes the different Kabbonis which are there for which are brought for Shavuos, it doesn't mention the word sin. Normally, when it says one of the karbonis of Evi Yom Tov was osir izim echad lechatas, a one goat for a chatas, you know what it is. So it says lechatas. There was a chatas karbon on Shavuos. So that's what it says by Evi Yom Tov. By Shavuos, it says osir izim lechaper, one goat to bring atonement. It doesn't mention that it's for atonement for sin. It doesn't mention the word sin. It says for atonement. Why does the pasuk leave out the word sin, chatos, in regards to Shavuos? As if you yom tovim, it doesn't say the word chet like it does say by the other yom tovim. Is mikivin shekibaltem the chazal tell us that the reason is since you accepted upon yourself oil Torah, the yoke of Torah on Shavuos, my lani aleichem, I consider it for you kiilu lechatosam yemechem, as if you never committed a sin. That's what it does. You accepted the Torah, it's as if you never sinned. But in other words, that's why the Torah says sin doesn't come up. The word sin doesn't is not mentioned. Does haste, in other words, atzeres ifabunim midem tog from Kabbalah's Torah. Atzeres is the Yom Tov of Shavuos, which is always 50 days after the second day of Pesach, at the end of Svira, as is well known. But our sages tell us that the karbonis of Atzeres are brought 50 days after the first second day, in other words, right after Svira. It could come out on the 5th day or the 7th day, as we said, because the 50th day could come out this way or that way. But the Torah relates Atzeres, Shavuos, to the fact that we received the Torah on that day. So we see that there is an intrinsic connection between Matan Torah and the Yom Tov of Shavuos. So then the question is, how could it come out on the 5th and the 7th? Is the Bir Bazeh? So the explanation is, the Teichem for Mitzvah Sfiras HaOmer is, what is the meaning of Sfiras HaOmer? What is the inner meaning of Sfiras HaOmer? The Achonah to Kabbalos HaTorah means the preparation for Matan Torah. They began right after Yetzias Mitzrayim, they began to prepare for Matan Torah, look forward to Matan Torah. As mitzad greisa the vartung and shuka, because the yidden were so, they were the expectation, they couldn't wait to get the Torah, tzukabalos haTorah. Habmzei arois geinik from Mitzrayim. Therefore, when they left Mitzrayim, they started counting. They counted down the days. Vifel teg is min givaren nenta tzukabalos haTorah. How many days now? You know, are we there yet? As happens on the trips. When you're on a trip, are we there yet? So they said there was 50 days. Every day, are we there yet? No, it's only 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, and so on. But it was because they were so excited to get to Matan Torah. The Mem Tesyoim from Sfira, from the 49 days of Sfira, Zayin the Achanas of Matan Torah, those are the days that we prepare for Matan Torah, Yom HaMishum, which is on the 50th day, of Olosh Nachsidus, and the way Chsidus phrases it, says it, Durch the Sfira from Mem Tes Yoim, by the counting of the 49 days, the Chazani Kenegede Mem Tes Sharabinu, which represent the 49 gates of understanding, the Grechman to Yoim HaMishim, that's when you get, when you finish the 49 levels, then you get to the 50th level, Sharanun, the 50th gate, Vados is the Inif HaMatan Torah, that's when you reach, the 50th level is that which is beyond reach. So we are able to reach 49 levels by our own counting. But then the Eibishter gifts us the 50th level. So the 49 days are the preparation, the way we get to Matan Torah. Kumtoi, so according to this, it would seem, as afal pi as der inen asfir es nit geworden in an öfen as der emek mission muss nit us found in dem tag von gebaus zu teide. Even though it's the calendar before it was stabilized, when they stopped, doing it based on the sightings of the moon, then it was set up in such a way that the Shavuos could come out on the 5th, 6th, or 7th, not necessarily on the day of Matan Torah. Nochmer, even more, as Kenzain Lefnikabal Torah, could even happen before the day that we receive the Torah. If it's on the 5th of Sivan, that means that it happened a day before Kabbalah Satorah. From Desvegan, still, Venatzeres, Yom HaMishon Faltois, Ye'ois, and then talk from Kabbalah Satorah. When Shavuos comes out on the day of Kabbalah Satorah, which is the 6th of Sivan, is das nicht noch azach on Adovet Stadi? We don't say that because it's possible that it should come out on the 5th. It happened to come out on the 6th this year, which means that it's not really intrinsic that Shavuos has to come out on the day of Matan Torah, because the two are two separate things. There's a Yom Tov, and there is the fact that Matan Torah happened around this time. Sometimes it comes out on the day itself, but it's not intrinsic to the day of Shavuos. No, it is intrinsic to the day of Shavuos, since the whole thing, the whole Sfira, which is what creates Shavuos, the Yom Tov Shavuos, is the lead-in to Matan Torah. So of course they're intrinsic to each other. So therefore, Narashleimus and Atzeres Gufa, which means that the fact that it actually happened on the day of Matan Torah, this of course lends perfection to Shavuos, to the Yom Tov of Shavuos, which has to come out on the 50th day, and therefore could happen otherwise. But when it comes out on the day of Matan Torah, that means Shavuos came out in its most perfect way that it could be celebrated. The shleimus from Yom HaMishim is the perfection of the 50th day is when das is the talk from Kabbalat Malachim al Torah, that it comes out on the very day in which the Yidden accepted the Matan Torah, and therefore you don't say the word Chatos on that day. In other words, the Torah intrinsically connects the 2 days, even though it's possible that it shouldn't come out on that day. Since the most perfect iteration of Shavuos is when it comes out on the actual day of Matan Torah, the Riber therefore zokte Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says, "Shteit nish in the Torah shvekzav." Therefore, the Torah doesn't mention by Atzeres in regards to Shavuos the lashon chet, the word chet, as we said. Zayin. So just like this is true for all till now, the different types of ways in which a mitzvah could be practiced, whether in its most perfect way or not most perfect way, was all about the same mitzvah can happen this way or that way. Just like it could happen in one mitzvah that there should be two ways in which it can happen. In a similar way, we also find in regards to two separate mitzvahs, which have a similar idea, as in ein mitzvah is the teichen mitzvah b'shleimus, that in these two related mitzvahs, they're related to each other, but they're two separate mitzvahs. So one way, in one mitzvah, you get the perfection of that mitzvah. In the other mitzvah, which is related, but it's the practice of a mitzvah, but not in the most perfect way. And by the tzveita mitzvah, it does nish b'shleimus. By the second mitzvah, it's not b'shleimus, which he explains. L'dugma, as an example. Zechiras yitzias Mitzrayim. The mitzvah that we have to remember going out of Mitzrayim. Vos b'shteit von tzvei bazunder mitzvahs, which is comprised of two separate mitzvahs. This obligation to remember is practiced in two different ways. There is a mitzvah that we have to relate the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim on the 15th of Nisan, which means by the Seder. There is also a mitzvah that every single day of the year we have to remember that we went out of Mitzrayim. That even though both of these mitzvahs, the one that pertains to the Seder night, and the one that pertains to every day of the year, are the same idea. You have to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's the mitzvah. What I mean to say is that's the meaning of both of these mitzvahs. Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, the remembering of Mitzrayim. Zayin Afaran Kama V'Kama Chalukim in Kiyum HaMitzvah. There are differences in the way we practice this mitzvah. The Yeschiri B'Meshach Kol Yimei Shana Kula, the remembrance of Mitzrayim, going out of Mitzrayim during the rest of the year, is Nishmet Ala Protim, is not done with all the detail. Unishin and Oifim Mudgish, not in a way that we emphasize it, make a big emphasis of it. V'Dechiv Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim V'Leid HaPesach, as we do make a big issue of remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim on the night of Pesach, and we do it in a much more detailed way. When the Tama Dover is, and the reason for this is moving Bapashas, can be understood. The Zman for Yetzias Mitzrayim Kipshuta, because when did we actually leave Mitzrayim? Is Beleil Tezvah B'Nissan, was on the night of the Seder, the morning later, the morning after the Seder. When the river is the Shiris Yetzias Mitzrayim B'Layla Zeh, and therefore when we talk about remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim on this night, in Anoifim from Tachos HaShleimus, has to be done in its most perfect state. This is the actual day when we left Mitzrayim. So of course you're going to talk about every detail. Of course you're going to make a big deal of it. The kids have to ask it and so on. Of course it's going to be a big deal. Whereas when we talk about remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim the rest of the year, is not a haitzah from the mechiv b'leil ha-pesach. It's only sort of an extension of when is the main practice of remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim on the day that we actually left Mitzrayim. From this comes forth that, by the way, this should also be done every day. It's not enough to do it only on that one night. It has to be done every day also. The Baal that in for Yetzias Mitzrayim is a pa'ulah nimshecha. Since leaving Mitzrayim is not just a one-time event, it's an ongoing thing. We're always free because of the fact that we went out of Mitzrayim. Therefore, the mitzvah rolls over into every day as well. It doesn't stop on the night of the Seder, it rolls into every day. Therefore, we can understand that this chira, is nishmit azash lemes with the schira from Leil HaPesach, and therefore, when we talk about the extension of the mitzvah of Yitzchiras Yitzchiras Mitzrayim that happens every day, is not going to be with the same, you know, with all the details and with the same emphasis and the same, as it is on the actual night of Pesach. So that's an example of two separate mitzvahs. The one of remembering it by the Seder and the one during the rest of the year also have these details. There is in its perfect state and then there is in its less than perfect state. Ches, ame'ein dugman al-hanal, somewhat of an analogy for this, so similar to this, nishbi inish al-mitzvah, which is unrelated, not in the practice of a mitzvah, gefindmen in a Mishnah, we find this in a Mishnah, was vashkofer eshrein ezetzich ois, Tamua B'Yeser, also that Mishnah seems very, needs explanation, needs to be understood. State the Mishnah, what does it say in that Mishnah? These are the Mishnah lists, there were a whole bunch of different jobs, things that had to be done in the Beis HaMikdash, and there were people in charge of that, who was the leader of that department. And the Mishnah goes through and gives us the names of those people who headed up that committee. When the Mishnah rechen toiz the name from the Mamunim, and the Mishnah goes on to list a whole bunch of names of those people that were in charge, and oy vos faran aveda ve'inyan in migdash is yedef zegev Mamunim, and tells us what exactly was his responsibility. And the first one is Yochanan ben Pinchas, Alachaismas. Yochanan, the son of Pinchas, was in charge of the seals that were used for different things in the Beis HaMikdash, and so on. The Mefarshim bring it, and as the commentaries there say, bringing in them zwei pirushim. They give two explanations of what this means. One is, what do you mean? Was the name Yochanan in all the generations of Beis Hamikdash stood for 830 years? Was Yochanan ben Pinchas always in charge? Of course not. There were different people. So who is this list? Who is it listing? So they explain two things. One is Ksheire Kol Derva Derba Limnos. He tells us who was the most outstanding of those on that job. Of all the generations, they picked the winner. He was the best at his job. That's one way of looking at it. The second one is, another way of looking at it is Mishaya Baisadur, that whoever said this in the time of the Mishnah, who were the people in charge at the end of the second Beis HaMikdash at that time, and that's who he listed, the people that were then in charge. Is L'chayra Tamur, so we have to understand about this as well. L'mayin afkimine tzua oisrech, and in a Mishnah, why is it important that in a Mishnah, she'inyona halacha, the Mishnah is halacha. Why does the Mishnah have to list in them from the Mimunim b'dayrish olufnim? Why does the Mishnah have to tell us that 800 years ago or 300 years ago this was the guy in charge? What relevance is it to halacha? Val derech loshna shas, using the term that the Gemara would use for this, ma'ida haba haba, it's in the past. Why do we have to be told who exactly was in charge? Ve'menos fashtein loit pirusha, the Bar Tanura will understand it according to the way the Bar Tanura explains it. As hamamunim arishoinim shenismanu al kach, kach hayishmam. It talks about the first one that was appointed for this job all the way at the beginning. This was his name. Lefikach nikroim aboy macharei malshmam. That's why the people that took his place in the years after were always called by those original names of the first person in charge. So there was, the famous guy. The guy that was in charge of the Chaismes, everybody knew Yochanan. So they said, the new Yochanan. The old Yochanan passed away. The new Yochanan is so and so. And this, the name carried over for all the generations, the original person. Why, in fact, did they, refer back to the original guy? Why didn't they call him by his own name? Why do we have to say who the, call him the new Yochanan? Why not just tell us who the new guy is? So perhaps it could be explained this way. A name, as we know, is meant to convey the personality of that person. K'mayma Chazal, as our sages tell us, Rav Meir, Haba Medayik B'shma, that Rav Meir was particular to him. He looked into the people's names. He knew things from the people's names. He knew something about you from your name. B'inyaneinu, so what does that mean in regards to this matter? Das was mahat ausgeklim de menschen zu sein dem imunim av d'inyanam m'siyam shav migdash. How did they choose a person that this is the right person to be in charge of this department? How did they choose it? Is valdin yanushav migdash fader a mention el chahabim ad di tchunas? It's because this particular job, this particular department, needs someone that has a certain personality. It's a person that's easygoing, or a person that's very, very specific. He looks at every detail, or a guy, depending on what is needed for each job. On zeizayin nirmas daig b'shma, and where do you see these particular characteristics which are needed for this job? The name expresses that characteristic. Daig b'shma, as we said, that the name expresses it. In Zayir and Emi, you find it in the names. So therefore, every generation, as they needed a new person to take over this position, you have to find a person that has similar characteristics, and therefore his name is going to express that characteristic also. So you have to find someone that has at least a similar name to the person, to the original person. But the fact is that the people that they appointed didn't necessarily, not every single person that was appointed to the seals was named Yochanan ben Pinchas. They had names. They had their other names. Nor la'achre shenismanu, after they were appointed, then we gave them the name that his name was Yankiv, but because he's now filling the place of Yochanan, so they called him Yochanan. So from this is Fashtanik, we understand obviously because they didn't have the exact same name as the person, the original person, it means that they had certain characteristics which are needed for this job, but not in the perfect way, in the exact way that the original guy had it. But not necessarily with the full set of characteristics that the original person had. They had certain characteristics which are needed for this job, but of course not in the perfect exact way as the original guy. So therefore, the perfect set of characteristics was the way they saw the original person. They hired people to fill that job, that position, that had similar characteristics, but not necessarily fully exactly the way the original guy had it. But that's why they gave, and that's why his original name that he was given as Bris was not necessarily Yochanan ben Pinchas, but because he needed these characteristics, and those were the ones that they looked for, and they found someone that had a good set of them, you know, not every single one, but a good many of them. So they gave him the name which goes with those characteristics that they were looking for. That's what explains that there is the perfection of it. The original one had it. Later, there were people that were somewhat and contained many of the necessary characteristics. That's why they didn't have that original person's name on their own. But they were given that name in order to express that these are the characteristics which are needed. Again, finding that there is perfection of a certain situation and less than perfect of the same situation. Test. As we talked earlier about the remembering coming out of Mitzrayim, the same thing can be explained now going back to the original question about what the Zohar says about the seventh year, and he interprets it as meaning that he has to leave, and that he connects it with the Shemitah, that when the slave leaves on the seventh year, somehow the Zohar connects it to Shemitah. As his daughter Shana Shvius from Klal Yisrael, Shnasa Shemitah, there is the seventh year, which is the seventh year for entire Klal Yisrael, which refers to the Shemitah. Then there is the seventh year as it pertains to this individual, the Shana Shvius L'Mechiras Eved, like the slave that was sold into slavery. And when is his seventh year coming? That's not in the Shemitah, that's his particular seventh year. Since both of them have that same characteristics of the seventh year, obviously, if they're both called 7 years, the Torah refers to them both as the seventh year, they must share certain characteristics which come with the seventh year. Especially in this case, is Dochter Yochid, that tale from Klal Yisrael, since the individual is also really part of Klal Yisrael. So when there is a Shvius which pertains to Klal Yisrael, and he has his own personal shvius, there must be a connection between the two. Nor der chilik zwischen zeyis. So what's the difference between the two different types of shvius? By them shona shvius from Klal Yisrael by the seventh year, which pertains to all of Klal Yisrael, is the teichem for Shabbos Lashem b'shleimus. Then when we talk about the year of rest, the rest that is given, that Hashem grants, or the rest that Hashem expects and requires, is a perfect type of rest. Therefore, it needs to be a perfect rest, and therefore has all these details associated with the year of Shemitah. You can't do work in the field and so on. But when the seventh year of an individual comes along, is bloisam ein from the Shabbos Hashem. It's only somewhat a similar to the Shabbos which of Shemitah. And therefore it pertains only to one detail, which is he gets to go free. That's his Shabbos L'Hashem. He doesn't have the Shabbos Hashem that Klal Yisrael has in Shemitah, which brings it with it many details. It only expresses itself in one detail for the individual. And that's what the Zohar is saying. Bahu naicha da'ara, with that rest of the land, which is Shemitah, itzricha avne naicha, therefore the slaves also need their rest. And that a slave has to go free in the seventh year, which means still the seventh year of when he was sold. Violet is a chelik from klal, because he's a part of the klal Yisrael. And he is also part of that the perfect shmita, the perfect shana shviz, which is when the entire land, everybody rests. So therefore his seventh year, which means the seventh year since he was sold, somewhat of the seventh year which all of Klal Yisrael celebrates, which is Shemitah, he gets a little bit of that. By the Yidden it causes that everybody in the whole land, everybody's land lies fallow, at rest. By him it's expressed in the fact that he gets to go free. Based on all of this, Kumto is a chiddush that brings to a new novel idea. The Rebbe says we need to find if there's any other source for this other than the Rebbe's own novel, coming up with this novel idea. B'shas tishana hashviyis from the Eved falt ois in shnasa shmita. If the seventh year for the slave would come out in the year of shmita, they too would coincide. Tut oiv shmita naicha da'ara azayna roizgin l'chavshi avdi naicha. So then it would come out that because it's happening in the year of shmita, which is the big year of rest for everybody and all the land, so and it, since it coincides with his going out in his personal way, so zayn betachlus shleimus, so therefore it would mean that his going free reaches a new kind of perfection, similar to what we said about when Svira comes out on Sunday. The first day is Sunday. Svira reaches a new kind of perfection, tmimus. So his naicha, his rest that he's given, that he goes free, if it happens with Shemitah, which coincides with the whole Klal Yisrael practicing Shemitah rest, means that his rest also achieves a perfect state of rest. But of course we need to understand what is there any practical relevance to whether it's his own personal or joins with the big year of rest. But this is not the place that I was not going to dwell, explain this here. This will also bring another interesting insight, was the Zohar Zogt Ba'efen Stami, that the Zohar simply states Bahu Naicha Da'ara, with that rest of the earth, Itzrucha Avne Naicha, the slaves also need their rest. From Velchus is Mashma, from this it would seem as the Zohar read wegen Shabbos HaShmita Gipshuta, that the Shnas HaShmita Gipshuta, that the Zohar is talking about the year of Shmita. While the Zohar brings to the fall from Bashvius Yechel Chavshechinam, then it is Bishleimus. The reason that he associates it with the year of Shmita, because from the reading of the Zohar, without this whole explanation, it just sounds like he makes it that the slave leaves in the year of Shmita, which the Rebbe, of course, right at the beginning said that can't be, because all over the Gemara, everybody, it's clear that it happens in the seventh year of when he is sold. So why does the Zohar state it in this way? Because the Zohar is stating it in its most perfect iteration, which is, should the Shemitah coincide, should this slave's year of freedom coincide with the Shemitah? That's how it is in its perfect state, just like the Torah, similar to what the Torah, the Rebbe explained that, when the Torah says Memachas HaShabbos, because that's the perfect way that Svira can be accomplished. Al derech hanal siv dalet, similar to what we said before, as Torah zogt Memachas HaShabbos, that the Torah says You shall count the day after Shabbos, the five ados is the falv and the mitzvah from Svirus Bishleimos, because that's the way that the mitzvah is in its most perfect state, as explained earlier. Vosdos is vem shviyas lemechira, so back to the slave, when the seventh year of when he was sold from the mevet of this slave is in Shnasa Shmita, comes out in the year of Shmita, Bahu Naicha Da'ara, that when it happens on the same in the same year that the entire land of Israel, everybody's at rest, that's the most perfect way that he could reach his freedom. And that's why the Zohar says it in that way. And even though it could leave the question, but once you know the answer, you know the answer.